And, you know, a lot of congregations give their ministers off, you know, around the holidays. Figured Bill did so good this morning, he gets half a day off. Of course, you still have to tell everybody you got the full day. You got Sunday off. Okay. Just know that there have been some advertisements between me and Bill, the things that we were talking about doing, starting the One Word. There's a couple of books left up front. We've got no whole other case in the back. You know, if you haven't got one of those, please get one of those and start to, you know, you can start your reading. I know that Bill is wanted to, think he's still going to do his first lesson on the Word the last, next Sunday. So, you know, look forward to a year of that. If you haven't picked up those books, please do so. We have plenty for everyone. This evening, just for a moment or two, if you would, in your New Testaments, please turn to the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, we have Luke's account concerning God becoming flesh. John writes about God becoming flesh in the Gospel of John and in all of his epistles. In fact, in one of his epistles, I believe it's the second epistle, he says the people who believe that Christ is not come in the flesh, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. We go to the writings of the Apostle Paul. He talks about Christ setting aside his part of his deity, not deity in totality, but in some way, he set aside part of his privilege to become flesh, to pick up flesh. So at this time of year, with everyone's mind concerning God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, this section of the Gospels is probably the most read section of the Gospels in the month of December. The thing is that when we read this, much like most of our other times we pick up the Bible and read it, we read it and we pick out different things that apply to us, that touch us, that move us, that we can understand, that we can relate to. When I read the gospel accounts, I like to see what the people that were around about Jesus, how they reacted, what that meant to them. How did it affect them? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and following, now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth, and that this first census was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And that's some historical background for the people of that day to know exactly when this occurred. And all were proceeding to register for the census, and everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him or betrothed to him at that time and was with child. And it came about while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger or a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. The very first thing that I see when I read that section of Scripture, I see Mary, and I see Joseph, and I see God becoming flesh and them participating in that to a point. But what I do see from them and the lesson that I get from their lives is that when we do God's will, we're not always guaranteed comfort. It was for those of you ladies that have been with child, you know, when it's about 8-9 months, you know, all the men in your life are making stories and jokes and like, have you ever thumped a watermelon and got an echo? And you're like, that's not funny. Think about traveling 20, 25 miles on a horseback or on a mule or on a donkey to get to a place. That was very uncomfortable for Mary. It was not only uncomfortable for Mary, it was uncomfortable for Joseph as well. because they weren't married yet. They were engaged. They were betrothed. And there were stories that circulated about them. And they would have known about those stories. And yet God becoming flesh and dwelling among us was so important to them. It was more important than the discomfort that they were feeling or that they felt or that they experienced. The next group we find in verses 8 and following, it says, in the same region around Bethlehem, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you, or to you, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace be among men with whom he is pleased. When I read that section of scripture, I look at the shepherds. We all live in a world that doesn't want to be responsible today. We don't want to be responsible by and large for are accountable for a lot of people for their actions, for their own responsibility, for the decisions or choices that they make. And when they make a bad choice, it's about time to lawyer up and see if we can get out of this situation. Here, when I look at the shepherds were people who lived out with their flocks. They lived amongst them. They were with them on a daily basis. And when I see that story, I think, what if one of the shepherds would have been irresponsible and decided he was just going to stay home that night? He wasn't going to be around the sheep. He was going to shirk his responsibility. For a shepherd that might have done that, he would have missed the blessing that came from the angels that night. You know, our blessings that we receive come when we are on duty as a Christian. They come when we're on duty within our families, within our churches, our congregations, the relationships, when we fess up and we take responsibility and accountability for where we need to be and for what we need to do. God blesses those who accept that. Continuing on from verse 15 and following, and in closing, says, and it came about that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Notice there was no ifs, ands, or buts about where this message came from. They understood that something special had happened, and they came in haste and found the way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. And when they had seen this, they had made known the statement which had been told to them about the Christ. In other words, they told about what they saw when they were on duty. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. One of the things that I would stop here when I think about this, when I look at this, is that have we discovered a Christ that is so precious to us that we would share him? That we would share him. Because that's what our world needs. If there's going to be peace among men, if there's going to be glad tidings, it's because of God that he's become flesh. And in 19 and 20, Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. You know, this time of the year, there's a lot to be made about God becoming flesh within our world today. Especially at this time of the year. The thing that I take from that part of Acts, or from Luke 2, is that the last picture that we see of Jesus should not be one of him lying in a manger. Because that's where the story stops with the shepherds. But if the only Jesus that we see is a baby that's in a manger, we miss what God has wanted to give us. As Bill so greatly said in his message this morning, the greatest gift was never under a tree, but hung upon a tree. If we celebrate the birth, but not the life, not the death, and not the resurrection, we miss the blessings that God has for us. Should we remember that the Word became flesh? Yes. Should we talk about it this time of the year? Yes, it's on people's minds. Maybe if we talk about them, the Word becoming flesh, they want to know more about His life, or about His sacrificial death, or about the resurrection, or how He wants us to live today. We don't need to live in a shell. We need to get out of it and engage people by where they are. But if the last picture that we have of Jesus is a baby, we miss the blessing that God wants for us. This evening, John's picked an invitational song. It's not been one on the lessons tonight. It's not been one on first principles, but hopefully it's engaged you in some way. Hope that it's something that you can take with you this evening. If there's someone that wishes to put Christ on, we do have all things are always available for you to do so. And we would love to assist you in that. If you've already put Christ on in baptism but need prayers of the church, if you have spiritual needs that we can address with you, we certainly can help you with that. And we most certainly need to remember those, Linda and Danny, as they're at the hospital this morning or this afternoon, and the rest of the family that's there with them. So it's the Savior's invitation. And as we leave here in a little while, let's not remember.